So I'm going to zip through this, but what I'm hoping you'll get out of this is some sense of we're really involving a lot of kids and display materials here. I want to say this. To me, sharing a passion for biology has really seemed like a form of activism, and this is a way of doing it. Okay, my sweaty young woman. Okay, so I believe the Naturalist Outreach Speaker Bureau is a response to the national need for attracting students into the sciences for scientists who can effectively communicate the value of their work to the public, and this is really key, and also for help enhancing the understanding and appreciation for the environment. We've talked to an awful lot of people, and here this shows you the growth of my program over the last bunch of years. Whereas this was an easy thing for me to manage 10 years ago, as it's grown, it's become increasingly a difficult thing to manage, and I've needed assistance. So what are we doing, and how can you do it? So I've broadened the number of talks. We're giving enthusiastic, informative presentations. We're aiming for experiential learning with hands-on displays, and the college students are emphasizing their own paths. We're going in with lots of live animals, hands-on displays, and posters. I don't let them give PowerPoint presentations. PowerPoint presentations aren't a problem, particularly for the high school students, but for elementary and middle school, PowerPoint presentations are simply too boring to do it. And I want them talking and being animated, not relying on their pictures. One thing that I had really not anticipated but has turned out to work beautifully is that for all intents and purposes, we're all old farts in here. But when college students who are really only a few years older than the students in the classroom go in and they talk about how they just love working with insects and how they are becoming scientists and this is how they're becoming scientists, the students love it. They turn out to be far better role models than in many ways we can. And one thing that I want to emphasize is that 65% of my speakers are women. And many of the teachers tell me that one of the big things that they really appreciate is having young women talk about being scientists. So how do you attract quality college students to this audience? First thing is obvious. You'll be a good teacher who attracts students who want to work with you. Second, you need to be somebody who does outreach in some form yourself. And then finally, I'm offering the students 1 to 2 hours of credit for their effort. Now that they're taking the class, they're getting 3 hours of credit. One thing that I had not really anticipated, but know now, is that there's a vast untapped population of students who are craving a combination of sharing their interest in biology. They want to improve their teaching skills. They're thinking about being teachers. They want service. They're looking for alternative careers that aren't necessarily academia and aren't necessarily in the classroom, but are looking for another place that they can fit. 3 years ago, at the urging of Jan Nyrop, I formed this Naturalist Outreach Practicum, which is a 3-credit seminar, whereas I had previously been working with kids more or less on the side to develop their talks. Now I'm presenting a formal practicum on how to do effective scientific outreach. And my goal is to teach students to communicate science with passion and with clarity. It's an interdisciplinary course with guest speakers that examine different aspects of communication. How do you do it? What sorts of words are you using? Education, kind of practical aspects of if you study a particular animal, how do you sell it in outreach? And we're looking at scientific inquiry in classroom, museum, and event settings. And then the students participate in the Speakers Bureau. The speakers here aren't so important, but the point is that I'm pulling in people from every department. I'm latching on to friends from the Smithsonian. I'm calling in as many people who are doing this sort of thing And the ones that work are the ones who do it well and talk about kind of this combination. One thing that's really important is that developing quality presentations really takes work. I have the students doing a critical peer review of their presentations, display materials, their personal introduction, so on and so forth. We spend a lot of time with assessment discussing what works, what doesn't work, disasters in the classrooms, things that are really fun, and we're also evaluating other large-scale events. They volunteer and participate and evaluate two big community outreach events. As a number of you may know, Cornell, 4 years ago, we started Insectapalooza. This is a one-day insect fair that's really big. We're bringing in thousands of people on this one day. And then Judy Days, which is an event put on by the Cornell Plantations to emphasize how important plants are in the environment. And so the students are seeing how you put together a large outreach event. One of the things that you need to know about doing this is that the logistics are a nightmare in this program. Students love it. The teachers in the community love it. I'm proud of it. But pulling together scheduling is really hard, and it could not be done without someone who is dedicated to helping you with this. And so I've been very fortunate to have a collaborator and coordinator extraordinaire in the front here, Rhonda Hamm, who has been the graduate outreach director with me for 4 years, and she's very closely helped me develop the course. She's a former science teacher. She's finishing her PhD. You want someone who is ready and willing to start outreach programs in your university, she's ready to be hired. In terms of the logistic nightmare, trying to fit together teaching the classroom schedules with college student schedules, working with students, working on the web page, and then Rhonda and I organized Insectapalooza the first year and then have been intimately involved with all other years. So my goal is to inspire a generation of engaged scientific outreach leaders. And so the question is, evaluation, is it really being achieved? I can only tell you what comes back to me. The Cornell students feel that this is one of their best experiences at Cornell. They absolutely love working with kids. They love the teaching. They find that they're articulating science better and they're much faster at thinking on their feet. Many of them are really craving an opportunity to serve the community, and they really like interacting so closely with faculty. One thing that I need to emphasize is that they're a self-selecting group. I've got three slides left and I'm done. They're a self-selecting group. Of the 105, or rather out of the 80 that have already graduated, from what I have gotten back from the students in a survey I just sent out, fully 30% of these graduated students have continued to do outreach in some form. Many of them have become teachers. Many of them are involved in a service that they feel is an outcome of this program. Many of them are taking leadership roles in these, and a surprising number have founded their own outreach programs, say when they started grad school. And a number of them are doing service like Teaching for America or AmeriCorps or Peace Corps. What I'm really pleased at is a surprising number have changed career directions into a non-traditional biology career. I don't know if he's in here, but Xerxes Society. A lot of people are interested in nature centers, museums, or zoos. So I'll be fast. Basically, I've talked to you about how Cornell students get a payoff from this, how it's a winning opportunity for them. Elementary school students and secondary students are hearing lively talks. They're getting appreciation for biology. They're finding out but they're hearing biology that's environmental, not just molecular. They're getting science in a really fun format, and they're seeing those college students as role models. It's really important that, especially for 9 to 12-year-old girls, to see that women appreciate and study creepy crawlies and like it. teachers in the community. I've got long-term connections to many teachers in the community, and this allows integration into their own curricula. They're getting lively students, and something that I had completely not anticipated is they're using our talks for other subjects. So, for example, Spider is being used for art projects, for library research, for math programs, for social studies. I don't know how they do it, but they're ending up using this as an excuse to get the students to do other things. We got teacher resource guides online. So let me close with this. I've got brochures about the program up front. Just ask me. I've got a bunch of brochures here. I've recently had a paper come out about the program. Rhonda and I have written an article about Insectapalooza, and a lot of this is on our website. Thank you very much.
We have time for a couple of questions.
Amazing. Okay. Anyone? Yes. To be perfectly honest, I don't entirely know. A lot of it really was that this AP article went out and I was on the local paper, and so teachers started calling me. One of the other things that I've done is I've simply sent little brochures out to a couple of the schools, and they have contacted me from there. I basically don't advertise this program. I don't need to. That we get more requests than we can fill. So I think we've talked to over 1,000 people this fall. Yes?
I think the most attractive thing about it is
it is free. Thank you. I think one of the things, my biggest expense, you know, other than just kind of maintenance things, my biggest expense is I can't say, gee, you don't have a car, you can't be in this program. So I am paying taxi fees to some of the schools, and increasingly I'm asking teacher programs if they can drive the students home or if they can help cover taxi costs. And so, you know, who knew this was going to be a big expense? Anybody else? Yeah.
Last one. One more.
You. You know, the high schools have not called us in to a large extent. I think Rhonda has given a number of talks in high schools, and we have always been willing, but I don't get the requests. But we're increasingly hitting middle school.